You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Our question of the night is, what is something you just can't get into? I say anime. Conrad says drinking spirits neat and reading. And I'm kind of there too. I wish I still read. I used to read a lot, but let us know what you think. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. We've got, I will give a reminder also for the keyword, and I will spell it right this time, coming up later in this segment, most likely. So stick around. Right now, I'm very excited to welcome my next guest. This next gentleman, he is a bona fide storm chaser. So if you've seen the movie Twister, you've probably been fascinated by what storm chasers do, just like me. So let's find out for ourselves by how close to reality that is. Let's find that out by welcoming Jordan Hall, Storm Chaser. Hey, Jordan, how are you?
Hey, how are you? I'm good.
Is it tough for you to just sit there and talk and not get an adrenaline rush like you do in your profession?
I still get a little bit of an adrenaline dump hopping on these. I still get the nerves a little bit. So I think I'm feeling good right now.
You're going to be fine. This is going to be a blast. I'm so excited to have you here. Is there something you just can't get into? Do you have something like that in life?
That I just can't do?
Yeah, like, you know, whether it's rock music or, you know, jelly cookies, hockey, whatever. Just something. You could think about it, too, if you want.
Let me think on it. I'm not a huge soccer guy. I don't like soccer that
okay.
much.
Yeah. I could see that. You're probably not alone there. All right. So let's jump right in. I'm so excited to have you here. I've probably said that 18 times and it could be part of the coffee. The coffee could be talking.
I need coffee.
So. you would not need coffee, I think, because what you do, you just have to get your adrenaline going. But so I think people see Twister and they go, oh, that looks really cool. At least to watch. When I was reading about you earlier, you actually are a fan of the Twister, and that kind of got you excited to storm chase. So tell us how you got into this line of work.
Yeah, so I mean, I grew up watching the movie Twister. That was my favorite movie when I was a kid. And then in middle school, me and my dad actually watched Storm Chasers on Discovery Channel. And that kind of brought even more of a love for weather into that. And being from Montana originally, we didn't have a whole lot of crazy weather outside of like Eastern Montana. So long story short, went to college in Chatter, Nebraska, and started skipping class to go storm chasing because it was just there. And that's kind of how it all started.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So Montana. So were you interested in weather before storm chasing, or did that happen? Was it like storms first and now you're fascinated by weather because they cause storms? How did that work?
Honestly, I think just when I'm watching the movie Twister, I was just obsessed with tornadoes is what it started out as. It was just like, oh my God, tornadoes are fascinating. Like back when my grandma had like the super slow computer, you know, the original computers, I was probably downloading viruses trying to get tornado photos to pull up on Christmas. And so I think it all started with the movie Twister and just seeing tornadoes. And then when Storm Chasers came out, I was just fascinated with like, oh, go out and chase tornadoes. That's a way to do it. That's a way to go see it. And it just kind of snowballed from there.
Man, it's fascinating to me. Like the movie, how close is the movie? I you know, movies are movies. They take liberties, all that kind of stuff. And they got these crazy gizmos looking for storms. Is that realistic? And is what they do realistic?
So there's a lot of realistic stuff. And then there's obviously your for Hollywood stuff. And okay. I think a lot of the journey and like a lot of like everybody getting together and you have a lot of friends and there's like a camaraderie type of thing. That's real. You see that a lot out there and you see a lot of competition. As far as like taking like a regular pickup truck and getting hit directly and not rolling or rolling and not blowing your windows out and surviving, that's kind of a farce. But there's a lot of real things in the movies.
Huh. So that part where Glenn Powell in the second one, where his truck kind of those things come down and like pin him to the ground. Do those exist? Is that real?
Yeah. So I've actually chased in the Dominator 3 with Reed Timmer. So it's kind of like a dream come true, watching it in middle school on TV and then actually being a part of that team. was pretty cool. And in that vehicle, it actually has spikes that will deploy into the ground and hold you, but it's also got an airbag system that drops down so the wind can't get underneath. But that's another thing with the movie. They have the spikes that go down, but nothing is preventing the wind from getting underneath the vehicle. So I don't think that would actually work.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. So, but it does work if you get, if you eliminate the air under there.
That and making sure you're not putting it in something that's too strong too. And it all depends on the debris. If your vehicle's getting hit with debris or not, there's so many factors that go into it.
Wow. But yes. The closest I've come to storm chasing was trying to find a nice, warm, gentle breeze. And I even failed at that. So I'm kind of in awe of what you do.
It's hard this time of the year, finding warm air.
That's for sure. So I was reading about you earlier. You've been a fireman, a volunteer fireman. You've done search and rescue. You're a drone pilot. Are those good preparatory things for storm chasing, or what's the best training?
You know, honestly, I think being a volunteer firefighter for the few years that I was in college and growing up in a first responder family has helped me the most, because as far as storm chasing goes, whether it's tornadoes or even just hurricanes or wildfires or anything, we're usually the first one to arrive on scene to anything that happened, usually before the cops, before the firefighters. So having that experience with first aid and knowing how, you know, not to move somebody, or, you know, knowing how to render and help people and just talk to people has probably been the most important thing that's carried over to storm chasing.
That's so cool. My guest is Jordan Hall. He is a bona fide storm chaser, and he joins us here on Nightlight for the first time. I have a question for you, because I've never really gotten a good answer. And I've asked friends who were weather people, but they probably don't know as much about tornadoes as you do. I was staying in Madison, Wisconsin once at the Concourse Hotel right downtown. Mm-hmm. And they called everybody down. They said, we're having a weather issue. There are tornadoes in the area. Please come down to the lobby. And I had my 12-year-old son with me at the time. So we went down there. Not everybody did. But I swear I saw these like whirling dervishes outside between the buildings that seemed like they never touched down. What did I see there, Jordan? Because some of us were talking about it, and it's like, is there just not, it's not like Tornado Alley. Like, they can't just touch down with all these buildings. Is that the problem?
I mean, you can get tornadoes in town. That definitely happens. You're probably seeing little eddies, they're called. Okay. So when you get wind that goes between buildings, it can tend to spin and kind of spin and twirl. But as far as like getting a tornado around big buildings, it definitely happens. It just comes down to the storm and the timing, and just everything kind of has to come together. But buildings don't necessarily prevent tornadoes from happening. So
why don't you hear more of them though? In the city, like, it's not like Illinois is flat. I used to live in Chicago. I live in a small town now in Wisconsin, and I just don't see them. Is it just the luck of the draw?
Honestly, I think it's definitely a luck of the draw, because you need a tornado to form, which, mind you, a tornado is a very, very small part of the storm altogether. I mean, it can be 100 yards wide. So for that tornado itself to actually hit the metro area or hit one of those big buildings, I mean, it's like a needle in the haystack for it to happen. It does happen, but it's very rare. Like, Oklahoma City is buried in Tornado Alley, and they have still yet to get one right through downtown. So
that's interesting.
I think it's going to happen. I just don't know when.
I'm sure you'll be there. What is the most freaked out you've ever been when it came to a storm or a tornado, some type of weather event?
Oof. I think the most freaked out I've ever been was a few weeks ago in the Philippines when I was doing a super typhoon out there.
I was going to ask you about
freaked
that.
Freaked out. Yes.
And you said you were in the Philippines, and you were caught in the eye of the storm. I've seen that in the movies, but how does that happen?
So going out there, I was actually targeting the storm, trying to get into the eye with a hurricane. It's basically like a hurricane, same thing, but called a typhoon over there. And my goal is to get right in the center of the eye, because in the eye, it's usually calm. You can see all the way up, and it's just really tricky to do, especially in another country. So went out there, went to a remote area, a little village, and got stranded actually, because the road got surged out like 12 hours beforehand. The water ripped the road out. So as I was there, the storm surge was coming in so full, way higher than I thought it was going to be. I was genuinely concerned about the building we were in.
Wow. So, I mean, I know I sound like a big geek here, but like, what, how do you get in the eye? Isn't it like treacherous? Like, can't the storm rip you apart while you're trying to get in the eye? I always thought people like got in the eye of a storm accidentally, and it's like, oh crap, how do I get out of here? You know what I mean? You voluntarily entered the eye.
Yeah. So with tornadoes, they're a little different because it's so chaotic and it's a very mini, like it's a small thing. Whereas like a hurricane, it's such a huge system. You have time to kind of pinpoint where that eye is going, and it's still tricky. But yeah, no, getting into the eye is really difficult because that means you have to go through the eye wall, especially on hurricanes. It's all straight line wind, which is a little different than tornadoes where it's always every which direction and it has more of that ripping motion. Hurricanes, it's all straight line. So it's all blowing in one direction, but your most intense winds are usually on the northeast side of that eye wall. And that's where you can see, like with a strong one like Hurricane Melissa in Jamaica this year, that's where you see sustained winds at like 160 plus miles per hour gusting to 200 at times. So you have to be in a place that you trust isn't going to collapse to. And that's another issue there.
I can't even imagine. Have you ever seen a storm or a tornado where you're just like, nope, no thanks. That's too intense. Has that happened?
Yes. There's been a few times with that. Earlier this year, there was a tornado in South Dakota. It was Gary, South Dakota. One of the most photogenic tornadoes I've ever seen in my life, but by far probably one of the most violent tornadoes I've ever seen in my life. And I actually was... normally I get right up on tornadoes. I get as close as possible without, you know, getting hurt. Usually within 100 yards or so. This was one I actually had to sit a little further back from because it looked like you had somebody was playing a video right in front of you and like a time lapse, like it was fast forwarded, but it was actually happening that fast. And it was pretty scary. It's intimidating when you see something like that.
I can't even imagine. Aside from an area or region like Tornado Alley, where are tornadoes most likely to hit, like worldwide? Is there one region that is more susceptible to them or one region where you can't explain where they happen more?
So the United States is, I'm pretty sure, one of the leaders in tornadoes. We are just like the hot tornado hotspot. But another place that gets them quite frequently is South America and even Africa, just the way the troughs go and the topography. It's really unique though, because, I'm sure you've heard it. Everybody says, oh, Tornado Alley is shifting east. Have you heard that?
No.
It's a big thing. So like Tornado Alley, you know, Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska, everybody talked, you know, 10 years ago, there's tornadoes all the time. And the last 10 years has been pretty dead. And there's been a lot of tornadoes down in Mississippi, Alabama. So everybody's been saying, oh, it's moving east. It's leaving the plains. And it's like, well, no, it's not actually happening. It's more of a, more people are seeing them. We have technology, we have more radars. And now all the tornadoes that were happening down in the trees, down in like Mississippi, Alabama, that you would have never seen are actually starting to get reported. And that's why we see those numbers go up.
Wow. His name is Jordan Hall. He is a bona fide storm chaser. He is joining us tonight for the first time. We'll have more with Jordan after a short break. Right now we've got on the stream, Bud says, I taught middle school science for 15 years and used some storm chaser YouTube videos to inform my students. Maybe prepping future storm chasers that will one day get to meet Jordan. I'm sure they'll be thrilled about that. But we'll talk more to our new friend Jordan after this very short break. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're out of sight.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Yeah, oh, where can you go when your money gets low? In the basement, down in the basement. And if a storm is taking place, you
can come and hear me say. Great to have you with me tonight, folks. It is Thursday night, the Christmas Eve of weeknights. We are doing the popcorn pick of the week at 6:35 with WMDX's Catherine Lake and Key and Peele, SNL, and Mad TV writer Rich Tallarico is here at 7:20 tonight. Right now, my guest is Jordan Hall. He is a storm chaser, and we are talking to him about what he does, and it fascinates me. But before we get back to him, I'm going to give you the keyword again. This hour's keyword in our grown-up gift list, text to win, multi-state contest here at Civic Media. You need the app, text it in on the app, and you're eligible for $200. And you also will be automatically enrolled in our grand prize giveaway, which is a brand new snowblower, a stainless steel cookware set, or a portable air conditioner. But this hour's keyword is quiet. Q-U-I-E-T. That's tough. Those three vowels. That's what jammed me up the first time. Quiet. Q-U-I-E-T. Good luck, everybody. So there you go. All right. We're talking to Jordan Hall here. Jordan, you seem like a very normal guy. My question is, I guess, how dangerous is this? Like, you seem like a guy who likes life, who had a fairly normal upbringing, but this is a thrill-seeking profession. How dangerous really is it?
I mean, it has its dangerous aspects. Obviously, getting the closer you get, the more dangerous it is. That's why it's important to be prepared. But honestly, something most people don't think of, the most dangerous part of storm chasing is honestly the driving and driving to target areas. We do I do over 80,000 to 100,000 miles of driving a year.
Whoa.
Yes.
So what do you mean? Like, just you're more likely to get in a car accident than be swallowed up by a tornado? Is that
what? Absolutely.
No kidding.
Yes. So obviously you watch the movies and you see the videos and you're like, oh my God, tornadoes are scary. And look at this video. But getting close to tornadoes is actually extremely difficult.
Yeah.
Because you have to know, you got to find the road, you got to forecast where it's going. And in that whole process, the driving is the most dangerous part, because especially close to storms, because people are panicking in the moment that, you know, there's a tornado. And if you're in a city area, like a more of a metro area, people are running red lights, blowing through stop signs. And so it's very, that's honestly the most dangerous part, is the people around you. And also the long drives. Wow. Like, if I have a tornado chase in Oklahoma and I got to get to Iowa the next day, I chased all day, then I got to drive all night, and then I got to get there to Iowa. So all the long drives add up.
That is fascinating. I was not expecting that as an answer. So, all right, I have to say, most of my life is spent, and I have a pretty boring life compared to you, but most of it is spent avoiding oh crap moments. Like, oh, I climbed up the ladder, I went too high and lost my balance. What was I thinking? Drove too fast on ice and hit a patch, joined the Navy SEALs, whatever it might be. How many moments like that have you had where you were like, oh no, this is an oh crap moment?
I've had quite a few. There's been a few times where I've gotten a little too close to tornadoes and didn't have enough time to hit my escape route and got mowed down.
Whoa.
A few times. Gotten way too close, had debris slam in the vehicle. Pretty like, oh crap, like this is not good.
and when you were like that, was it like you just made a mistake and got careless or greedy or what?
It was a mix of being greedy, of wanting to be a little close, and also just being, I thought I had an escape route. I looked at maps. I glanced at maps and I was like, oh, quarter mile. I go east, quarter mile north, east again. I'm good. This thing's coming at me at 60. Joke was on me. I didn't look at it close enough. And when I decided to bail, when I hit that north road, it was 2 miles, not a quarter mile north. And that just that little difference there, I actually got hit sideswiped by it. Is a strong tornado in Oklahoma during a high risk last year. Thankfully, I managed to stay on the road and get out of it. But like, I was getting almost blown off the road. People behind me got blown into the ditch, and we were getting hit with debris. But little things like that's why it's very important to always have an escape route, and usually having a chase partner helps a lot with that too.
Is it tough to get car insurance in your line of work?
No, because you don't technically tell them what you do.
I'm a weatherman.
I don't make any claims. Yeah. I don't claim anything.
So when you say safe spot, you have an escape route. What is that? You're in Tornado Alley. You got a tornado. You got to get your ass out of there. Where are you going?
Yeah. So with tornadoes, a little trick of the trade. If you ever get caught in front of one, you can tell which direction they're moving. If you stop and stare at them, give them like 5 seconds. If it's moving left to right, it's going to cross likely in front of you. If it's moving right to left, it's probably going to cross behind you. And if it's just getting bigger, it's coming right at you. So in that situation, I always look at what my storm motion is on the day. Is it moving northeast? And I look at the road network and, okay, if the tornado is going to be moving this way, how can I get out of the way? And do I have an option to get out of the way? Or am I going to hit a dead end? So there's a lot that goes into it, into the moment, while you're trying to look at a tornado.
That's a lot to remember. Conrad, did you write all that down?
Yeah, you know, it's been a while since I took a memo. But
I would panic if I had to go over notes in that situation. I don't think I could do that. All right, can we keep you through the news just for a few more minutes? I'm really enjoying this. So one more question for you before we have to do the news. What is your day like? You're a storm chaser. That's the exciting part. But you do this full time. What does full time mean? Like, how much? What are you doing when there's no storms? How much prep and what's that like?
So when there's no storms, like right now, it's just pretty blah unless I want to go cover snow. Yeah. I'm sitting at home, probably going through a lot of my archive, registering stuff with the copyright office. And then I also work with Sevier Studios and we manage everybody's copyright. I broker video for media sales and all sorts of stuff there. So I'm always trying to keep myself busy, whether it's desk work. So then when I do go out, I can go out and enjoy it.
Where can people follow you or where can they learn more about you? Can you steer them somewhere here in just about 30 seconds?
Yeah, Storm Chaser Jordan Hall on Facebook and YouTube. And then Twitter is Jordan Hall WX.
Okay, fantastic. All right, Jordan Hall is here. He's going to stick around for a few minutes, folks. We're going to do the news. We'll come back for Act 2 and we'll read some of your texts. Tonight's question is what? Can you just not get into? And you cannot say storm chasing. We're coming right back for Act 2. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabba, and it is great to have you with me, folks. Why, Conrad, does Google ask me to sign in right before I need Google? Literally, the seconds are ticking down. Hey, can you sign in with that password you haven't used in a year? Awful. You should ask your friend ChatGPT about that.
You know, I don't. Maybe it'll tell me to make the passwords easier to remember.
Yeah, probably. All right, folks, we are moving on here. It's going to be really fun. I'm very excited to have my next guest on the show. She has spent over 40 years in the radio racket. I think did a little TV too, did some news, maybe spun some tunes and hosted. I'm going to tell you about what she did. She did one of the coolest things ever. And is the creative force behind a song we'll tell you about in just a minute. But she most recently has hosted her own show here on Civic Media for the last 2+ years, I believe, with Greg Bach. And her name is Jane Matinere. And the show is Matinere on Air. And Jane joins us now over the stream. Hi, Jane.
Gentlemen, good evening. Thank you so much for having me. How are you?
Oh, it's our pleasure. I'm glad you were able to. It's a big week for you, so I appreciate you taking the time. And your house looks so festive, if that is your house.
I brought in the tree just for you.
Did you just cut that down a few minutes ago?
I did, yes. Yes, exactly. On my way home from work.
I appreciate that. You're like Diana Ross. You could redo your living room for an interview. And
sure.
Cut down a tree.
Me and Diana, we have so much in common, yes.
You do. Well, you both have had long careers, Jane. And how are you doing? Like, how do you feel this week?
It's, you know, it's a little unsettling. I won't lie. You know, this has been my life for 44+ years. But at the same time, Pete, I was talking to a friend about this and she asked me over the weekend how I was doing. And I said, you know, I look back at things and where I started from and I'm satisfied.
Yeah.
I am satisfied. And I think that's a gift. I do. I don't know that everybody gets to say that after their, you know, whatever they chose to do over the course of their lives that they can leave with some satisfaction. And I think I'm satisfied.
Wow. You're right. That's about all you can ask for. Before we continue with this line of questioning, do you have a favorite Jack Nicholson movie?
Oh, excellent question.
Thank you.
There are so many, but I love Something's Gotta Give that he did with Diane Keaton.
Yeah. Great movie.
It's a wonderful film. It really is. It's a great, great movie.
That is a great choice. All right. So let's get back. I've got so much to ask you. You've spent many years doing news. And I'm sure, I'm sure some of those, that could probably stay with you depending on the story. But can you share any highlights you had doing news, a good story or something you broke that was really cool?
Well, and I'm really grateful TMJ took me on. And I am not a journalist, Pete.
Yeah.
And I've always been tried to be very clear about that. I have great respect for journalists, which I am not. I don't have a degree in that. But I had the opportunity to help out a charity in Slinger that did therapeutic horse ride lessons for adults and children with special needs.
Mm.
And they were going to be closed because they had a bathroom that was not ADA compliant. And so TMJ let me do a story about them and their attempts, and we helped raise enough money to get that bathroom put in. And
cool.
As what people were, but that's the other thing I found over the years, Pete, is how generous people in Wisconsin are, truly. I've been involved in different fundraisers of all different kinds over the years. We did Stuff the Bus at the Mix for decades. And the day before Thanksgiving, a food drive. And people would come out in droves. We would fill up 3 buses full of donated food. And so I've always been overwhelmed and humbled by the generosity of our listeners and people who've listened to me in different places all over the years. But the other thing about doing news that I don't know I expected, and maybe that's why I'm not a journalist and I would not be a good journalist, because I found covering some things so very, very heavy.
Yeah.
And I found it very difficult. The Uvalde school shooting in particular, I found very, very upsetting. And I had a hard time shaking that off.
You had such a great, you mentioned TMJ, and that's where I started kind of doing some guest hosting. That's where I met you. I'm sure you don't remember me. I did like 20 shows. But I thought the second I heard you talk, Jane, I just think she has the best voice. And you kind of like, and you must know you have a great voice for broadcasting. When did you know that? Like, when did that occur to you?
Oh, but Pete, I've been a ham for such a really long time. It did. It started very early. I was raised Catholic from a big Catholic family.
Same.
We were in Mass when I was about 4 or 5. And it was a particular service where the priest goes through, let us kneel, and everyone kneels. Let us stand, everyone stands. Let us sit, everyone sits. And I said to my mother, when everything was nice and quiet, quite loudly apparently, why doesn't he make up his mind? And the whole congregation burst out laughing. And it made it into the paper, and they hung it on the fridge. And I just remember thinking, well, all I did was ask what I thought was a perfectly reasonable question, and I got a great reaction that I never expected, this great laugh. And I think that kind of set me on a path to seek more of that. I want to make people laugh.
I trust your smart assery was nullified in the confessional, I hope, later at some point.
I don't go anymore, so that kind of alleviates that problem.
You know, speaking of Catholicism, I'm the same way. 16 years, Jane, of Catholic school here, and it had no effect. No, I'm kidding. But I remember making my first confession. A bunch of us were in line in like 3rd or 4th grade at this Catholic school in Chicago, and the priest came out to yell at us, and I was next. I'm like, wait a minute. Now he knows what I'm going to say to him. Cause this was back in the day where you went in and there was that cloth there and they couldn't see who you were, but he came out and gave us the business. And I'm like, well, now I got to go in there. He's going to know that I killed a guy in 3rd grade or something, you know?
Terrible. Well, but they kind of could see through the little, we had the little screen.
Yeah, that's true.
You can't tell me you didn't know who was who.
That's you're probably
right. Who are we kidding?
Were you a DJ before you did news? Like, did you work at music stations?
Oh, that was the beginning.
Talk
Absolutely.
About that a little, please. That's great.
My very first job was at KNUJ Radio in New Ulm, Minnesota.
Wow.
Which was a polka station. in a very heavily agriculture community, and I helped them launch their hip FM station, KXLP. And when we first went on the air, there were only two of us. And I did middays from 10 to 2 or 3. And then he did 3 to 7 until we built out the staff. And then I was there for about 3 years and moved to the Milwaukee area. And when I started at the Mix, I started at overnights. But I went into radio because I wanted to be the cool night rock chick. Nice. And I am none of those things. I am not cool. I was never a rock chick. It was like, that's... and.
You're way
so
too
when
humble.
I started, no, but it wasn't, it didn't fit who I am. And I was doing nights on the Mix, and the general manager, Jack Lee, God bless him, apparently heard me and thought, she's pretty good. We should move her. And so they moved me to mornings. And that's where I spent the rest of my career, pretty much.
It must be tough going through life not being as cool as your voice. That's what I'm hearing. You don't think you were cool. I totally disagree. Jane Matinera is my guest. She is the host of Matinera on Air here on Civic Media for a few more days anyway. She's had an amazing career. We've got one texter, Tom in Hartford, Jane, who says, Polka Jane? Sure, that works.
Yeah, KNUJ played polkas. And what I remember very specifically about that, my first job there, was reading farm implement commercials live when there would be four syllable words that I had never seen before. And you're just, so I learned how to say things really, really quickly when I didn't know what I was saying.
When you said you were spinning polka tunes and then you went to, you set up a hip, that you're not talking about polka as a hip.
No, we were, okay. No. We played contemporary. It was probably hot AC would have been the category at that time. But it was, don't forget, this was the very early 80s. And so it was lots of Air Supply and
love it.
Little River Band and that kind of stuff.
And all those bands that you are embarrassed to admit you love when their songs come on.
There are still some. I love Pure Prairie League. I still have old. I have old 70s albums, and I grew up on Bread and all those really sappy love songs. And and now I am no longer a ballad person. I don't listen to ballads. They annoy me.
You're older and jaded. Now you're cool.
Well, jaded, certainly. Cool, questionable.
Jane, all right, so for the last couple years, you've been hosting your own show on Civic Media here. What has that been like? Had you done something like that previously, your own talk show where you got to talk about events that you deemed important or that you were interested in? What's that been like?
It's been a wonderful experience, and I am so grateful to Civic Media because I came with Kristen Bry. I had met her when I was working at TMJ. She had gotten the opportunity with Civic Media. And she said, you want to come with? And I said, sure, let's go.
Nice.
And landed there. And then when she decided she had another opportunity that she took, and they offered me the opportunity, and I was a little intimidated. But I think producing for Kristen for that first about year really helped and helped my confidence. And it's just about being informed. And I think... and reading as much as humanly possible about the things that you're going to be talking about. And admitting also that I don't know everything. And that's why we have experts on who can explain to me.
That's a great answer. We have Sydney Politics on the stream says, sorry if I missed it already, but what's happening with the Matinera show after she retires? Well, Greg is going to, your co-host Greg will take over for a while, right? That's the plan.
Yes,
How's it been working with Greg? Do you have to keep him in line?
It's been so wonderful. No, it's been so wonderful. We have had so many laughs and in some very difficult moments. And there was a point about 2 months after the election, the presidential election, and I found a story, I think it was in the Cap Times, about they had a school naming contest in the Madison area to rename a school. And they left it up to the public. And so you know how it went. And so the choices were Schooley McSchoolerson, and Schooly this, and the other one was Big Chungus. And and Greg and I were talking about this off the air, and we just had one of those laughing fits, you know, when you just, it's so ludicrous and so silly. And we laughed like that, like we were 7 years old for about 10 minutes. Those are the moments I am going to miss and cherish and remember, and just to see how much he has grown in his role and now that he's going to be stepping in. And it's very exciting. I'm so proud of him. I'm so happy. It's been wonderful working for Calvin. I've loved everybody at Civic Media.
All right. Jane Matinair is here. We'll have her for a few more minutes. We're going to do a very short break. Tom also says, Jane, you were both wonderful. And we've got a little more text love I'll read after the break. Jane Matinair is here. We are coming right back. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. Gonna be some sweet sounds coming down.
Welcome back. So great to have you with me on this Tuesday night as we prepare for weather. It's looming. That's a great feeling. I hope you're inside and safe and warm, everybody, and talking about the things we love to talk about in life. We're doing it here tonight, movies, comedy, TV, and I'm going to give you the keyword again in our multi-state Conrad, what is it? Grown-up gift list.
Yes.
Not adult. That could be construed the wrong way. So it's our grown-up gift list and our multi-state text to win contest. We love our text to win contest. Once again, this hour's keyword, you have to use the app to text this in, folks, is holiday. H-O-L-I-D-A-Y. Holiday. Good luck, everybody. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite Jack Nicholson movie? Jack just turned 88 two or three days ago. And more importantly, we're talking with our good friend and the host of Matinair on Air for the last couple of years here at Civic Media. She is hanging it up this week. So it's great that she took some time here to spend a few minutes with us on Nightlight, Miss Jane Matinair.
So nice to be here. Thank you so much, Pete.
It's great, Jane. Thank you. It's been fun, like, just listening to you and learning from you for the last couple of years. So thank you for that. But you and I spoke recently on your show. Here's one of my memories I have of Jane Matinair. And you said, look for something in the movie Green and Gold that doesn't make sense. So I watched that movie like a hawk. And I'm like going, I'm like actively.
Where is it?
Performatively watching this movie. And I came up empty. But you had an issue with the ladder.
Yes.
Someone leaving a ladder out.
Yes.
In Wisconsin. It was a
plot point. And yeah. They needed an accident to happen in order to move the plot along.
Right.
So they had a ladder out in fall, and then it was Christmas time because there were Christmas lights on the eaves, and the ladder was still up. And I said, no self-respecting Wisconsinite would leave the ladder up and just put lights over it. It would never happen.
Yeah.
It would never happen, and it just ate at me. It's like anyone who lives here. No.
That's so funny. Jim on the stream says, Jane's voice reminds me very much of Lauren Bacall, a legend in film. Have you heard that before, Jane? I'd be willing to bet.
I haven't. Thank you. What a wonderful compliment. Thank you so much.
Fantastic. So what are you going to do now, Jane? You're going to have all this time on your hands. Do you collect stamps or beer cans? You're going to watch
stamps,
some color
yes.
television?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be stamps. No, my husband and I are trying to get rid of things. We've been in our house for 24 years, and not that we're going anywhere, but, you know, you just accumulate so much stuff.
Yeah,
we have so much stuff. So I swear, Monday, I'm going to be taking my car to the shop because it started making a new noise. My 13-year-old Subaru, I'm not feeling good about this.
Oh, boy.
But then I'm going to start going through things and trying to get rid of things. And I don't want to, I am trying to be as responsible as possible with Goodwill and upcycling and as much of that as humanly possible to keep it out of landfills. So
do you have that Catholic thing where you go, is God trying to tell me something because I'm hanging it up this week and now my car goes on the fritz? Is this God's way of getting back at me or telling me I should stay in radio, Jane?
Oh, no, I never thought that at all until you planted that seed in my head.
Jane, this has been so fun. I've loved having you on the show. I hope you'll still come back sometime, even though you're retired. You are going to be, you know, you're going to need some things to do.
Oh, well, absolutely. Hey, okay. They're letting me keep the laptop and the microphone. So I'm always available. And by the way, I have all your email addresses, so don't think you're getting rid of me.
Sweet.
You can just hide from me. No.
All right. Before we let you go, I have one thing. A lot of people might not know this about you. And the great Mike Clemens is the one who told us about this. But you are also a songwriter. I made a film called The Godfather of Green Bay. We screened it last week in Madison. I feature the Macarena throughout the film as this drug guy's main song that he loves. I had no idea until recently that you wrote a version of that song with Mike Clemens. Do you care to elaborate?
Oh, absolutely. Our program director at the time, Brian Kelly, said Macarena is a huge global hit. It's waiting for a parody. I want you guys to do this. And so Mike and then my then partner, Dan Weber, and I all kind of took turns and wrote lyrics for it. And then Ryan and I went down to Chicago and recorded it. And it became a crazy, crazy sensation. We sold cassettes because that's how long ago it was. We sold cassettes for $5 and we raised, I believe it was $92,000.
What?
For the Child Abuse Prevention Fund. And we had a worldwide map up in the studio and we would put pins in because we were hearing from all over the world. We mailed cassettes everywhere.
All right, we have to hear just a quick snippet of that before we let Jane go. Conrad, if you please.
Tanner Brooks and an Edgar and a Red Cheek Jackson and a Shimmer and a Holmgren and a Jackie Jones and a Leroy and a Nixon and a Dorsey. Hey, Macarena. Red Tanner Brooks and an Edgar and a Red Cheek Jackson and a Shimmer and a Holmgren and a Jackie Jones and a Leroy and a Nixon and a Dorsey.
That is so great. And if you thought the original Macarena got stuck in your head.
Oh, it's bad. Yeah, it's a bad earworm. You won't thank me. One little tidbit about the Pacarena. The captain of the space shuttle at that time was from Wisconsin. And I actually have footage of NASA playing the Pacarena for him as their wake-up call. And him doing a dance as he's floating. It's so cool.
What a cool thing. Hopefully, maybe a few more songs. You've got the time now, Jane, to check it
out.
That's
true.
Before we
let
you go.
I'll do some blues.
You got the voice for it. John Murray in the 608 says, enjoy your retirement. You've earned it and come back as a guest often as your family will allow. Be well, Jane. And my sentiments exactly. Jane, thank you so much. Enjoy your retirement. And please don't be a stranger.
I will not. And thank you so very much. Pete, Conrad, you guys take care. Take care, everybody.
All right. That's Jane Mattinara. You can still hear her this week. She's sticking around, and Greg Bach, her partner in crime, will be sticking around as well. So that's good. Thank you to Jane Mattinara. When we come back, we've got, Greg Vadney is going to be here talking about Manitowoc. We got a quiz for Greg, Wisconsin Historical Society stuff in the third hour, great holiday events, a lot coming. Question of the night. It's all happening here on Nightlight. Great to have you with me. It's Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
In the sky, among the clouds.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.